want to get into finishing a series that I began about a month ago, July 4, 1776, preparing to cross the Jordan. All right? And each one of the series has a different subtitle. This one today is called God's Staging Grounds. God's Staging Ground. You know what a staging ground is? If you was in a band, you would know. You know, they would tell you, we're going to meet you out on the field where we do the staging. And the staging is how they set everything up, where you meet, where you stand, the equipment that you got to bring, or any refreshments they got to serve. If you're in a war, the staging is a lot more in-depth. It's where they're going to begin lining up all the military, the arsenals, the weapons, the supplies, the replacements, the boats, the ships, the tanks, the arsenals. But in God's holy word, there's a staging ground. So I'm going to talk about that today. Now, this is where we ended last week. Winston Churchill made the statement that helps us to understand where we are at this point in time. He said, now, this is not the end. This is when, right at the beginning of World War II. He said, it's not even the beginning of the end. He said, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. And that app that applies to us today, from what I'm understanding as we put all of these pieces of a puzzle together today, is that God has laid out what I'm calling today a staging ground, where He has finally brought the end to the beginning. And so as the children of Israel cross the Jordan, their battles have just begun. They had a long way to go before it was over. And so it is with us today. The staging ground, 2020. Now, when I started putting this sermon together, what made me change the subtitle to the staging ground was this. So as I was looking for how to tell this story, because I found that sometimes the sermons for a new person is a little complex, trying to put all the pieces of a puzzle together for a prophecy. So I wanted to make this a little bit simpler, but yet still use all the puzzle to make sense of what's going on. So what is a staging ground? The staging ground says an otherwise staging point, a staging base, or staging point. And I read that and said, that tells me nothing. You know, think about it. There's the definition. It's a staging point, a base, or a post. So what? So this is really what it is. It's the location where organisms, people, vehicles, equipment, or materials are assembled before use. So as I looked through the scriptures and I was trying to explain today's sermon as I was putting together my PowerPoint, I found myself, believe it or not, going back to all the previous series that we've been doing for the last 7 years. And the reason I was doing it is because each of those series covered a part of scripture of prophecy that was beginning to fall into place. So as I began to look at my notes, it was like a staging ground. It was like God had began to move all of these pieces in a puzzle like is on a football field or a baseball field, and then put all of his pieces of a puzzle and lining them all up. In other words, he's bringing all of the events that brings us to the beginning of moving into the promised land. He began to lay them all out. And they all began to line up around 2020. And I began to see something. I said, this is amazing what I'm looking at here. And so I prayed real hard and I went back and rewrote a lot of my slides to try to make it as simple as possible to show you how God has taken 4,000 years and lined it up through the prophets, through Jesus Christ, through the apostles, pieces of a puzzle that all pull all of us together to bring us to 2020. Telling us to get ready. And that's what this is today, to tell us to get ready. So I began looking at my notes and figuring, what in the world do I need to pull together? And I went back to this scripture you've heard me use over and over again, and I will in the future because it needs to be understood. Surely God will do nothing but He reveal His secret to His servants, the prophet. That's you and I. So if God's beginning to move into the end time arena, tribulation, the seals, the trumpets. He's going to tell us before He does. So what He's done at this point is 2020 now has got all of these points all came together of 4,000 years of events that are all lined up and they're all on the field and they're ready to move into the promised land. And it was very similar to the children of Israel, where God told them, said, listen, after 40 years of wandering, get ready. In 3 days, you're going to cross over. And then he warns them. He says, no, but you've never been this way before. And so that's the way it's been with the church. There were certain things that he knew that he taught us. There were certain things that we didn't know that were yet to be taught that are being brought out today in our age. So I started putting all these things together. So as I went back in my notes, in my sermon, I have pieces from every one of these series that we've been looking at that you're seeing coming up on your screen. So as I wanted to tell a point of a puzzle of a scripture, it was explained in one of these pieces. So I'd pull that. So I go to the next scripture I want to explain. It's, oh, well, we covered that in this series. And then I go to another piece of prophecy. Oh, well, we covered that in this series. And before I knew it, all my notes have been covered through the prophets. I didn't have to explain a thing. They'd already been explained through the prophets. And that's what I'm going to begin showing you today. Isaiah 26:28 says this, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So God's saying that if you're going to understand what's coming, you got to get off the milk. You got to toughen up. You got to get yourself in action, get in gear. Be ready to take on some of the hard lessons that's going to come. So God's beginning to toughen us up, to get us on that staging ground. What else did he do at the staging ground? They began to practice. They rehearse. They began to try out different things that'll work or they won't work. In other words, they began to toughen up whatever they need to do to be able to go against the enemy. Because you see, on the other side of the field, there's the enemy. And he's staging his grounds. And so you're seeing a lining up of a battle at the end time taking place. He goes on to say, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And I sat back and I thanked God and I praised him. I said, God, how merciful he's been to our church to be able to understand what's going on piece by piece, patience by patience, for the last 7 years. So now as we need to explain where are we in time today, God has given us where we are in time. The staging ground is the alignment for the final battle to destroy God's elect. You ever what's going on in America and around the world? There's so much anger. The people say, oh, we've always had this. No, you've never had it quite like it is today. There's an anger and there's an emotion and a hostility that is beyond belief around the world that's growing. There's no sense, there's no knowledge in the balance of right and wrong anymore from the leadership. What God says in Isaiah, you're sick from your head to your toe. He said, everything inside of you is just putrefying sores as they're going through. Revelation 12:17 says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And even in the church today, the church says, I don't want to talk about prophecy. Well, I'm here to say that we're not talking about prophecy anymore because prophecy has become today news. It's the here and now. It's the events that you're living through. The future is here. It's not talking about the future anymore. We're talking about now that God talked about would come. And people don't want to talk about prophecy, but they don't understand that the testimony of Jesus Christ, Revelation 19:10 tells us, he says, for the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Satan knows that. How is he able to take the church who understands the truth and they've got so tired of hearing the end time coming that they don't want to talk about it anymore? When Satan himself knows that, it is the key to your connection to Jesus Christ. It is through that spirit that inspires you, the prophetic voice of Jesus Christ in you, that gives you the understanding of what is coming. It is the connection, the link that stops Satan from achieving what he wants to achieve, the total destruction of this planet and everyone in it. In the Church of God, for many are still saying, well, we've always had this. I don't want to talk about prophecy. Just tell me how to live and have a good life. Well, we can do that, and we certainly need to do that. But I want to tell you something. That's not going to give you. The milk is not going to give you what you need in the time that's coming up ahead. It's just not going to do it. The stage of ground today is talking about where you are. Now, this is where we left off last week. On the edge of the promised land, what do we see? Remember that? That's how we began to end last week. And we compared that to the children in Jericho. They crossed the Jordan. They encamped. What did they see? Off to a distance, approximately 7 miles away, was Jericho. A massive city. Walled. Double walls. It was the gateway into the promised land. Very similar to you and I when we look at Babylon, as the end time Revelation talks about today. So you and I, what are we looking at? That's what's staring us in the face. Because you see, we're in the stage of grounds now. I believe we have moved into the time where there's been a warning for the church that they need to wake up. They need to get their act together. It's like God's showing us, look, He's like He said, all right, listen, I've laid everything out on the table. It's all on the stage of ground now. Now, it's all coming together, and we're going to show you the story. God says, I told you I'm not going to do anything until I tell you first. Well, I'm here to tell you today, I believe God has showed us what He's telling us first, and I want to put that together, because this is where we're going. Let me ask you something. When you get into the third seal and 25% of this planet and people is destroyed, is it going to be enough to say, well, just teach me how to live? Just make me, you know, give me nice things. What about when we get to the fifth seal? It is the persecution of the elect. And people begin to go to jail, or they're beaten, or they're killed, put in prison. Is it going to be, say, just teach me how to live? Or are you going to understand, hey, listen, this is what it takes. It's costing. Because you see, the thing I really wanted to get into in this series, I had no time to get into it. Which I'm going to start a new series. I really am. It's on how to deal with this, personally. Because the first thing the children had to do, what was the first thing they were instructed to do when they got across the Jordan? Anybody? How about you at home? Call in. What was the very first thing? They had to do something. The what?
The ark.
No. Didn't build an ark. They had to get circumcised. They had to be circumcised. What does that mean? It means they had to commit themselves. They had to commit themselves that what they're about to do, they surrendered their life by through the circumcision. They became an Israelite. Just like with you and I. Because of where we are, when God told in Revelation John, He says, go to the seven churches. Go to each one of them. Each one had a problem. He told them, get your act together. What was He telling them to do? He was asking them to recommit their lives, go back to that first love and get ready. And I'm telling you the same thing. If you're not committing your life to what you have to do to hold fast to the end, then you're kidding yourself. If you think it's going to be easy coming forward, you're kidding yourself. If you think it's going to be a piece of cake and we're talking about nice things when the rest of the world is being collapsed, think about what's going on in the world today, the anger and the hatred that's going on, the murders. Look at a crime that's rising. This is on the top of almost $4 trillion being pumped into the economy to keep things stabilized. But now they're running out of money. They couldn't even get together to come up to give away more money. So now people are not going to have money for food. They're not going to have money to pay their rents. You're going to find more people putting out in the street. And you're going to see an anger rising over the next few months unless they do something that nobody's going to be able to stop outside of more people dying. This is only the precursor of what is coming. You got to get this in your head. Now, I can sit here and tell you nice things, but I'd be lying to you because the nice things are over. You're at the staging ground getting ready to go against the most powerful city on earth. In their day, It was Jericho. In our day, it would be Babylon and Rome. Babylon and Rome. The staging ground began to merge. I'm going to show you something here. This is amazing what's coming together. Now, you don't have to believe all of this, but watch what happens. You can't deny events that happen, even if you don't agree with them. They happen. The staging ground began to merge in 2017 with the store alignment, right? That's way up in here. When that store alignment went off, when it took place, it was prophesied to take place, and it happened on trumpets in the holy day season in 2017. Began to usher in the end of the beginning. The end of the beginning is what we just read. Same thing we've seen, very similar to the time when Jesus Christ came the first time. In each time, Satan was there to create his destruction. When God brought Moses out, which was the type, Satan was there. Kill all the firstborn, the male babies, right? When Christ was born, kill all the babies, male babies, 2 years. What do you think he's trying to do right now? You know, Satan doesn't change his tactics. He doesn't change his tactics. The children of Israel had wandered for 40 years in the wilderness before they went in. They were the second generation. Now, the parallels for the church is identical. The major church split came in 1978, and I was part of that. I remember getting thrown out of the worldwide at that time, simply for asking a question, not agreeing with a place of safety. Put you out. That was 40 years. So the church has been wandering. People saying, how come the church just isn't growing like it needed to grow? Because Daniel prophesied it's going to be scattered, not growing. It would be scattered. But we didn't see it back then. We didn't understand that. So for 40 years, the church had been wandering. Brought us to 2018. How about this? The worldwide Church of God, which was the parent church of all the churches of God, went apostate in 1995. And just like with Jeremiah, with the city of the nation of Judah, he says that they were warned for 23 years, but they refused to repent. So Jerusalem was told that they would go into captivity. And just like that, from 1995 to 2018 is 23 years. Brings again to another alignment in time. Israel, another piece of a puzzle beginning to align. 2018, in May 14th, 1948, 70 years was brought back to 2018. And I'm going to show you how Jesus Christ says, unless this generation, it said, who was there at the time when it was possible to destroy all flesh, that generation would not perish before the end comes. And I'm going to show you how that connects to all of this parallel in the past. On top of it all, these things fulfilled the prophecies to Abraham. That prophecy said this, all right, the prophecy, all right, of the pilgrims coming to America, September 16, 1620, from Abraham. The prophecy in Genesis 15, 12 through 16 said that his family would go to a land that's not theirs for 400 years. We know that story because the Israelites went to Egypt. And when he said they came out, it was 430 years to the day. What's interesting here is that when pilgrims came to America for religious freedom, that was 400 years from 2020. 400 years from 2020. There's also a connection to 1917 of 400 years, and I'll show you in just a few minutes. Now, anybody remember this little chart? I began working on this little chart in 2006. I think I could, if I don't dally too long. I was in Kansas City, Missouri, going to visit the brethren in Springfield. And I flew up to Kansas City to meet and have dinner with a minister who was a friend of mine up there. And it was in the December 6th or 7th of 2005. Right? 2005. And, of course, it was the 65th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. So on the news on Friday night, as I was getting ready to turn in, I'm watching the news, and the news was interviewing some of the elder men who were at Pearl Harbor. And the lady said, we're witnessing the passing of a generation. And it rung a scripture in my head of Matthew 24. All right, Matthew 24. So I began to work on this chart. So in Matthew 24, It says, this generation shall not pass. What generation was he talking about? Right? So if we go back in Matthew 24, he's talking about all the events that he talked about leaning up to verse 34 would happen. He said that generation who was alive during that period of time that he's referring to, and this is what he's referring to. For then shall come great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, that's why I'm not trying to be nice or pull punches in these sermons. People need to understand what's coming. We're coming to a time that's never been like any other time in history. Go back in history and look at some of the most violent times in history and try to imagine that worse, because that's what's coming. Verse 22, and God says, except those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. At the very beginning when I said, do you realize how blessed we are? You've got a difference to make a difference. Because of you, God says he's going to shorten time. How many lives can be shortened, saved because of you? Because you're willing to count the cost. You're willing to recommit yourself today, like being circumcised, so to speak. There's cutting off of the sins of the past and say, yes, Lord, I will do that. Because that's what it's going to take as we go through this. Now look what it says in verse 32. Now learn the parable. When all this takes place, learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender, puts forth its leaf, know that summer is near. In other words, we'll know these begin to happen when it's possible that no flesh would be saved alive. Right? When did that take place? When was it possible to destroy all flesh off the face of the earth? Somewhere between 1948 and 1950. When we had enough nuclear armament to be able to destroy the planet many times over. When Jesus Christ was saying that when that generation came, it will end before that generation passes. So somewhere within the 70 years or 80 years, then the end would come. So that's what began making me think. So how close can we be? So I began to chart out 70 years or 80 years from when we had enough nuclear arsenal to destroy everybody. It goes on and says, so likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at your doors. So when we began looking at 1948 to 1950, Jesus Christ was saying, listen, it's getting very near. But the fig leaves hadn't started yet. Hadn't began to surface where they are today. Truly I say to you that this generation, verse 34, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. What generation? It couldn't be the generation he was talking to. That was 2,000 years ago. It's the generation who is alive at the time when it was possible to destroy all flesh. That's our generation. You with me on that? That makes sense? See, that's not complicated. It's hard to understand when you isolate what's going on. So what Jesus is saying, when you saw it was possible to destroy all flesh, that generation will not pass before I come back. You're there now. So when you put it on the timeline of 1948 to 1950, that brings us to somewhere 2018 to 2020. Now we're at the staging ground. So the very first thing we have is Scripture showing us right here, that he's putting together the pieces. He's putting together the pieces. He's putting them on the staging ground. If you're getting ready for war, the ammunition just came in. Now he's getting ready to bring in the food and the supplies. He's beginning to bring in the people. He's beginning to line up all the signs and everything that you need, and he's laying them out on the staging ground. He says, but before I do it, I'm going to show you what I'm doing. That's what Christ says. But that's what we're doing here today. How about this? 1948, the nation of Israel was established. 70 years brings you to 2018. The resolution to make them a state actually took place November 29th, 1947. Brings you to 2017. 1967, another pivotal moment in prophecy. Jerusalem now is taken over by Israel. 50 years brings us to when? 1917. A jubilee, talking about freedom. So I'm putting together all of these things as back as early as 2006. And so I began doing sermons, and some of you were here for those sermons. And when I did it, I said, I don't know what this is telling me. But what it's telling me, something's going to happen between 2015 and 2020, 2022. I said, is that Christ comes back? I don't know. I had no idea at that time what it was going to do. But how about this one? This is even more critical now. The U.S. enters World War I, just like with Israel, they were given about 100 to 120 years warning of the prophets. Modern-day America has found itself in the same boat. 100 years from World War I, the United States entering into World War I, 2017. Look at those events that's lined up. Now, Christ says when you begin to see these things, look for the fig tree, the season of the fig tree. So what are we looking at now? We began to get into 2015, the things the church never understood. And to this day, many wish to ignore. How do you ignore something that happened? Even if you don't understand what happened, you can't ignore it happened. But many in the churches today say, that's just nonsense. That's just chasing the wind. So in 2015 was the Shemitah year in Israel. 2014, 2015 was the Blood Moon Tetrad, the eighth time. Now, Israel knew that was a problem. So when we began to put this together on top of all of this, now your hair begins to stand on your back of your head like, wait, we got a problem showing up here. But still, we don't know what's going on. And that's when many in the world began to think about, this is when Christ is coming back, this is the end. But we understood by 2013, 2014 that it couldn't be. The prophecies have not yet been fulfilled. So it was doing something else. What it was telling us is getting ready. We're beginning to get to the end of the beginning. God was moving us to the staging ground so that he can begin to bring about the end. But he couldn't do it till he showed us, because he promised he wouldn't do it till he tells us what he's going to do first. And then, of course, they had the super blood moon on the fourth one, on the holy day. Which, like, wow, all of these things lining up that you don't know what's going on. So everybody waited for the world to collapse. The United States to go back into its economic depression like it did in 2008. And it came and it went. And the world said, well, nothing happened, so it mustn't have meant anything. But what they missed, but this was all spiritual. It wasn't physical. And we talked about that when the Pope came to America. So I won't go into that today. So just like with the time of Christ when he was born, and just time with Moses, when God began to move, Satan was there, and he brings the Pope into America. And he moves him in on the most sacred day of the holy year. Puts him in the White House on atonement. Brings him over to our legislation. Brings him over to the UN and to our city in Philadelphia, the nation where we began. And he was gone right before the Feast of Tabernacles. All the way around God's holy days. He was marking his territory. He was showing us, defiant of God, of your disobedience here in America because you have just eliminated God by voting in gay marriage. And that we have opened the door and breached the walls that came to begin the fall of this great nation. So we didn't know what was taking place when I drew this chart back then. Because we began working on this chart, and I had a few more things that I just took out today for the sake of time. So now, let's take a look at that in detail, what God was showing us. So we're defining the differences from the timelines of the World War I. We know the time of the fig tree season and the day of the Lord, God says, that we need to be aware of. But we don't know the events of the day of the Lord. We were still looking for that. Or did we know the events of the day of Christ's return? And we still don't know that, because nobody knows the day. But we got a good idea with the fig tree season because he said we would know that. So now, these three specific times that the fig season could begin. Now, if you talk to most theologians, you know, say, when is the season of the fig tree began for the end time? Most will tell you 1948. 1948 because it was the establishment of the nation of Israel. So most will say, well, that was when God began the actual fig tree time of bringing us to the end. But I believe it's 1917. Let me show you why. In 1917, you're seeing here a picture. Now, this is from the Day of the Lord. And if you want to go back, you can go back into the Day of the Lord. And you can pull that series together to see how this comes together. But watch the prophecy that comes to pass. In the Day of the Lord, we began to bring out that you see here is this is Great Britain walking into Jerusalem on December 9th, 1917. just a few months after the United States came into the war. So you have America, an Israelite nation, a Great Britain, an Israelite nation, going into Judah, an Israelite nation, all coming together. For the first time, this event took place. Any idea how many years it took place before that happened? 400 years. Remember we just talked about 400 years? So they were away from that land 400 years. God says, after 400 years, I'm going to bring you back. What you're looking at here is the beginning of the physical fulfillment of a prophecy. On December 8th, the Turks began to move out of Jerusalem for fear. And when they walked in on the 9th, they walked in unopposed. The town was empty. Great Britain took over. What happened that night? Right? It was a fulfillment of prophecy that's found in the book of Haggai. In the book of Haggai, in chapter 2, it talks about it. And this is the point I want to bring out. And this is the second time it's mentioned in Haggai 2. Consider now, from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple. Now, when you look at that, it didn't make any sense. Well, they had a temple. They were supposed to be rebuilding, but the temple's foundation was already laid. They had the old temple. They had a new Herod temple. They had it all. It was pretty much laid. So this was talking about future. This was talking about spiritual. This was talking about God, the temple. Who's the temple? You are. So what God began to do after 400 years, began to lay his temple back in Jerusalem, his people. That's his people that he's beginning to lay back. That's what he's talking about now. So now do me a favor. I know you don't usually do this because I've got all the scriptures up here. But I want you to do something with me today. And at home, open up your Bibles to Haggai chapter 2. Take a moment and get your Bibles out. And I know I make it easy and make you lazy because you don't have to go look for the scriptures when I got them up here. But I want you to follow this with me on this here. Because there's three stages of this prophecy that I believe seals that this is the beginning of the fig tree season. And Jesus says when you see the figs beginning, the leaves breaking forth, then you know it's getting near. So this is beginning, just like with ancient Israel, beginning of 100 years of warnings, all right, in three stages of a captivity. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "In the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law." So now they go through this thing. If something's clean, it touches unclean. Is it clean? They said, no. So if God's people continue to connect with, and you're a part of people who are not clean, in other words, if you're living with people who are doing unholy things, can you be holy? Can you come to church on Saturday and be holy and go back to do everything you do all week long, drinking, carousing, smoking, cussing, and you name it? Can you be holy? No. The priest said, no, you can't. You have to do this 7 days a week. Right? And that's the story that they're going through here. All right. So this is the first thing. He's warning them. And it began on this day back then. And so from that day forth, you can no longer live the way you used to live. If you're coming back to my house where I'm laying the temple, you're going to have to walk in holiness. And I'm telling you, crossing the Jordan and looking at the promised land, you cannot be holy if you're going to be with those who are unholy. Can't do it. If you think you can, you're lying to yourself, and you might as well just walk away from the church, quit kidding God, because you're going to bring curses on yourself. You have to walk holy to be with God. And God's saying, from the beginning of the time, before I lay a stone out, he's telling you, this is the way you got to act. And so now he's saying, when you come across that Jordan, and they're getting circumcised, what's he saying? You can no longer dwell with the sin of the past. You must walk with God. And if you're going to be ready for what's coming, you've got to get everything else behind you. And you know what? I had friends I used to hang with, and I couldn't hang with them anymore when I came into the church, because all they did was pull me down and keep me the way I was. And I had to walk away. And if you've got to walk away alone! But walk and do what God says to do, or you're not going to make it. What's coming? But if you do that, God will strengthen you. And he'll get you ready for what's coming. All right, now let's pick up the story now in verse 15. And now I pray, consider from this day forward, from before the stone was laid on the temple, right? When I just said 1 Corinthians 3:16, since those days when you came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10, God says. When you came to a press vat to draw 50 vessels, there were but 20. And so what are we looking at America? What just happened last week in the growings where the crops were? 10 million acres of corn wiped out in a matter of just 8 hours. Billions and billions of dollars' lives are gone. And it'll take decades, they said, to put all that back together again. So you go looking for food. God says, you're only getting a little bit. He said, that's the way it's been with you. And that's the way we're moving into today. He goes on. He says, I smote you with blasting, with mildew, and hail in all your labors of your hands. Yet you didn't turn to me, God said. What's the matter with this nation? They will not turn to God. And they hate you for bringing it out. And they're going to find beaten people for standing for the truth and dragging them out their houses because the anger of what's coming, because it's that spirit of evil in Satan, because he knows he has but a short time. So that evil spirit, that demon is going to go into people and is going to bring about such viciousness. Like we watched and heard the story, a man walked out his next door neighbor, a 5-year-old, walked next to him, put a gun to his head, and blew him away. 5 years old because he went on his sidewalk. That man ate dinner in his house the day before. They've known each other for years. And we have not yet begun to get to where we're going. God says there's going to be a wearing down of the saints. Now, you think I can tell you this story and make you just feel good? No, Jeremiah didn't do it. They hated Jeremiah. They said, Jeremiah, you're bringing all these things on us. And God says, you go tell them anyway. They're not going to listen. They're going to hate you. And they beat him and they threw him into prison and they put him in a dung pile. But God says, you go tell them anyway. And I'm telling you, we need to tell this nation because this nation ain't got a chance. Our kids don't have a future. We have no hope. And God says, and you won't listen. He goes on, you won't listen. He said, is the seed yet in the born? Is yet their vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree? Has not brought forth this day? He says, from this day, he says, if you do what I'm saying, he says, from this day forward, I'll bless you. And I'm telling you, if you trust God, while the rest of the world continues to deteriorate, God will bless you. Now, we don't praise God enough every week to keeping the church safe from COVID. You realize that? Well, all these millions of people are catching it, and people are dying all over the world. You realize how few? I've only heard of a couple incidents of people who got COVID because they got into hospitals. Of church people. I'm not talking about your family. I'm talking about those who are in the church. We need to recognize what God has done. He has separated His church and protected us. We don't praise God enough for that, and you need to do that. Otherwise, He'll take them blessings away. Every single day, we need to praise and thank God for protecting us. And who knows, maybe protect your family, unless they're disobedient. All right, verse 20, third time. And the word came again in Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying to Zerubbabel the governor, I will shake the heavens and the earth. You're at that staging ground now. God's putting all these pieces of his puzzle together. And he's saying, get ready now. I've laid the foundation. I've protected my people. And now I'm beginning to shake this earth. Because that is what is coming. He says, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms. Because what are we looking at down the road? Just like the children of Israel when they crossed that sea? Jericho. We're looking at Babylon. And God says he's going to overthrow all of those nations. So here you have a three-part. Each one of these phrases brings out a different prophecy fulfillment where you're looking at to where you stand today. That happened. On that day, that fulfilled the beginning of Haggai 2 on December 9th, 1917. That was the beginning of the fig tree season. You find it in Haggai 2, 15 through 23. That is the fulfillment. That is another piece that is now on the staging ground of God fulfilling his prophecies. Now, some people say 1948. There had to be a state of Israel. It had to come to pass. It literally had to come to pass. And by the way, that was 430 years, just like the children of Israel came out of Egypt. 430 years to the day. 1948 was 430 years. Another piece of the puzzle on the staging ground that you can't deny. 1967. If Israel did not control Jerusalem, there would be no prophecy of Luke 21 saying, when you see armies surrounding Jerusalem, the peace accord that's being signed this week will break down eventually, because there'll be no peace in Jerusalem before Christ returns. Because it says there'll be armies surrounding Jerusalem, you'll know that the end is near. So now, it doesn't give us the day of the Lord through all of this, but it certainly gives us the fig tree season, huh? So now, let's go back. This is what we're looking at. This is where we've been at when we started. Now, what do we know? What do we don't know? All right? So now, we know one thing. 2020. We know this, all right? So what do we know? Well, we don't know when the seals start. Now, some think they may have started already with COVID. I don't see the fulfillment of all that. I think COVID is just a warning for the church. Get their act together. So we don't know when they start, so we'll put it back to where it was. God hadn't showed us that yet. He said, that's okay. He said, you just trust me. He says, I'll tell you when it's time. We don't have to worry about this. What we have to worry about is the time beginning to this. All right? So my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's Hosea 4:6. So what do we know? Let's take what we know and let's put that down. We know where we are. We're in 2020. It's a messy year. Boy, this is a messy year. How about this? We know what events are coming. We have an approximate time to conclude. It's interesting, both the Pope, world environmentalists, and everybody, they're all pointing to 2030. Even Hosea, another prophecy. Hosea 6:2, he says, after 2,000 years, I'll restore you. We'll dwell in the space. So everything's tied up to around the same time. Satan says he knows he has but a short time. So he probably knows Scripture better than we do, that God is revealing to us now. We also know that there's going to be a persecution on God's elect. Right here. Right. The fifth seal, persecution of the elect. So we know that's coming too. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to give me the answer now, but you can go home and write about it. If the church is in a place of safety, who are you going to persecute? Just a question. Well, the church has got to answer for it. There's them Laodiceans, them rotten Christians out there who don't do what I tell them to do. But the Bible don't say that. But that's what's being taught. How about this? Number five. That means we know this also. That means that in the future, laws will change. Oh, man, I looked at my time just now. I have spent way too much time developing this. The laws will change. It's going to take away our constitutional protections and freedoms. So we know that that is going to happen. So what does that mean? It means we're going to begin to see a series of events within the United States and from around the world that will begin to remove our freedoms. COVID-19, you're seeing that happen right now. Your freedoms are being taken away, whether we realize it or not. UN resolutions eventually going to be established. When you see the left move in, they will begin to go after the Constitution to remove it and will begin bringing in UN resolutions because they will be controlled through the Pope's agenda, the 2030 agenda. And they'll be using climate change, the curses of disobedience to God, as the source for bringing about these changes. Eventually, you'll be nuclear war. Now, these things are coming. The loss of freedom, Daniel 7, verse 23. I'll just go through this quickly because of the time. I want to get to this. I want to get to the different heads all the way down through the ages that brings us from Babylon, from Persia to Greece, eventually to Rome. Because we're talking about a holy Roman revival at the end time where God's going to allow the Pope to be able to raise up and bring everybody under his dominion in this Babylonian system. Revelation 17:3 says, I saw the woman sat on a scarlet-covered beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, talking about the Roman church, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints. The saints doesn't mean Laodiceans who are not in a place of safety. It means the saints. It means exactly what it says. He's going to wear out the saints of the Most High. He will think to change times and laws. One of the things that we're up against right now, the reason we have the protections we have is because of the Constitution. Because of the Constitution. So they'll be given into his hand until time, times, and the dividing of time, which is 3.5 years, which ties in with the past in Daniel, in Revelation, in the future 3.5 year tribulation. So now, let's put that aside. Global governance changed, so we know that that'll have to come in. Right now, we have the Constitution. We're going to see those laws and freedoms and religious protections dissolve in the United States. In News and Nuggets and Insights, I'm bringing out next week, do you realize that the left, they're using socialism as a band together, communism as a band together, Marxism as a band together, all to bring about the change against the Constitution. And the United States is eating it up. All those who couldn't stand one another now have all united. And they think they're uniting against Donald Trump. They're not. They're uniting with the spirit against the removal of the Constitution. Because that is the one thing that protects you from the evil right now. You go over to Europe, you go into South America, you go into the Middle East, and there's persecutions and murders of Christians across the board. In China. In all these other nations, it's happening around the world. You only don't see it here only because of the Constitution of the United States. All right? Jericho was locked down preparing for war against the Israelites. In America, the left is locked down preparing for war against the Constitution and your freedoms. They don't even see it or understand it yet because they're battling the spirit of evil forces that they do not recognize. That's what is going on. So let me show you about these 42 months. In the Old Testament, when God brought in the attack on Israel, they didn't scatter Israel. They went into captivity. They were removed. All right? In the Old Testament, God used the prophets to warn the people. So when God would send a prophet, he would tell them to repent and change. If they didn't, they were taken away. They didn't get scattered. They got removed. They got taken away. But in the New Testament, when persecution came, what did God do? He scattered them. Couldn't gather everybody. He could scatter them. Why could he scatter them in the New Testament? It's because no longer did God work through the prophet. Now he works through you. Because you are God's people. His Holy Spirit in you, he can communicate to you wherever you are. So he changed the way he communicated so that he could scatter and still stay in touch. Right? That is key to understand what's going on here. The future scattering, he's going to make war with the remnant who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And swore by him, this is Daniel 7, connecting the two of the Revelation, swore by him who lives forever for time, times, and a half time, when he has accomplished the scattering of the holy people, the things shall be finished. So God now can scatter us and still do his work. In the past, because he communicated through the prophets, if they were away from the prophet and away from Israel or Judah, they had no connection to God. Because of the way God worked in the Old Testament. We have the 1,260 years in the 3.5 years. Now, this is from an early Holy Roman revival, so I won't take a lot of time to go through this, but I want to show you how important the Constitution is and the protecting of the 3.5 years, because there's a little bit misunderstanding of the church that didn't go into all of this the way it should be. From the year 300 A.D., by 325 A.D., they began to change Sabbath to Sunday worship. Emperor Constantine, and you know the story if you've been in the church for any length of time. But during that time, there was a persecution. By 538, the Ostrogoth kingdom had been completely defeated by Rome. It was the beginning of what they called Justinian Law. Justinian Law. That was introduced by Pope Gregory I, who persecuted the Sabbath keepers and called them Antichrist. You know, somebody accuses you of something, usually they're doing it reversed. Well, that's what they were doing here. So under Rome, the beast power under the control of the Roman church ran total control, and the persecution begins again around 538, 554, and you began to see another scattering of the elect. And so it goes through the scattering all the way through the 15 to 1700s, and the scattering comes again. Why? Because persecution came in again. What God was doing was driving the people north and west. It eventually came to America. That's where we are today. The Roman Empire collapsed in 1298. Now, I'm going to show you something in just a second. That's 1,260 years. How long is the persecution? 1,260 days. A day is a year, 1,260 years. So let me show you what God's been showing us. In Revelation 12 says, the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that she feed her there for 1,260 days, 1,260 days, 1,260 years. So when God scattered the elect, where did he go? He scattered all across the northern areas of Europe in a place that was prepared, that was rich with blessings, out of the reach of Rome. When Rome eventually moved further west and north, God moved them again to another place prepared for them. It was called America. So this is the way it worked. All right, Rome, 538 A.D. The beginning of Jerusalem is the Christ in 70 A.D. said that when the persecution came, they were scattered through the regions. At the very beginning, they were scattered at the regions around 70 A.D., Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. And that's an action. That's right afterwards. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, began to do that. After 70 A.D. and the fall of Jerusalem and the persecution, the Christians were scattered further and further away, each time out of the grasp of the dragon. And God says the woman was given wings of a great eagle. She could fly into the wilderness to her place. Where was that wilderness? That wilderness was further away from Rome. All right. Where's her place of safety? The place of safety is with Jesus Christ outside the persecution of Rome. And that'll be the same way with you and I. The persecution expanded again from the 1400s through to the 1700s. It says the serpent spewed out water like a flood, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth swallowed up its mouth and swallowed up the flood. And so they never could go after get the Christians removed because they were protected. They couldn't find them, and you find them throughout through history. So the dragon was wroth and went to make the remnant with the seed who heaped the testimony of Jesus Christ, and that is you and I. So you go through the persecution, through the stages, to where you and I are today. And just like he protected the church then, God says, I will have a scattering. When the scattering is complete, then the end will come. All right, so now, let me show you the scattering now and the Constitution. All right, so this is what we just said before, the people who had the commandments and the testimony. Every time you find persecution in the New Testament, you find the scattering of the holy people. Revelation 6 says, how long, O Lord, holy and true, till you judge and avenge our blood? And God says, until there comes another persecution at the end. That does not mean everyone. That means there will be a certain persecution. There will be those who are protected, but God will use certain people to bring about his plan of salvation. So the timelines of this information, if you've never seen this, watch how this works in God's plan. Justinian Law comes in at 538 when defeating the Ostrogoths. It was removed at 1798. Justinian Law. How long was that? 1,260 years. The Ostrogoths completely removed in 554, 1,250 years, 1814. It's the end of the Battle of 1812. It was here, right here in New Orleans. Battle of New Orleans, 1814. We took a little trip. Remember that? All right. In 1787 A.D., we began the ratification of the Constitution. 1787 is also the beginning of the removal of Justinian Law. So while there was no Constitution to protect God's people, what did he do? He moved them out the way to protect them from Justinian persecution. When the Constitution came in, the Justinian persecution was removed. So God no longer had to move us and hide us to protect us because he gave us a document and a nation that protects us. Virginia Resolution in 1798 was the final resolution for the 13 colonies of the Constitution. It also tied in with 1814, 1812, which was the pathway of destiny for America. The greatest growth of America came after that period of time. So now, when Rome gets back in power, what do you think they bring back with them? Justinian rule. Why do you think everybody wants to remove this Constitution? Because it is the one document that God set in place to protect us to do His end time work. So when their anger is against Donald Trump, they don't realize it. Their anger is against the establishment of the Constitution that protects our nation. We wrestle against principalities in high places, not against flesh and blood. Let me just read a couple things from this. I know I run a little bit late today, but this is important. I'm going to get ready to wrap it up in just a few minutes. Look what it says here. This is from the Justinian Code. We desire that all peoples be subject to our benign empire, shall live under the same religion that the divine Peter the Apostle gave to the Romans. Of course, that's a lie. But it starts off with a lie. We order that all of those who follow this law assume the name of Catholic Christians. What's the Pope trying to do today? Reestablish that. And considering others as demented and insane. They didn't mince any words. If you wasn't a Catholic Christian, you were demented and insane. And you were better off being killed than allowed to live on this planet. And they did. And when I read this, whoa. We order that they bear the infamy of heresy, and with the divine vengeance that which they merit shall be appeased, that means when they're killed, they shall afterwards be punished in accordance with our resentment, which have acquired from the judgment of heaven. And you can go on and you can begin reading about the heretics and how they're going to treat them. This, in context, will be put back in place. But they can't accomplish it as long as the Constitution exists in this planet, in this nation. You see why the Constitution is so powerful? Not only gives us freedom, it gives us the protection. This is also the reason I believe that Trump would be back one more time, only because the work of God's not finished. If he's not elected, then you expect the work of God to be concluded sooner. And that's the only way I look at it. That's not political. That's a statement of what I believe the plan of God is, because I know the left where they're going when you look at what they want to do. They're not going to let us preach that abortion is against the law, is illegal in God's eyes. They're not going to let us preach that homosexuality is an abomination in God's sight, and they need to repent. They're going to bring about hatred and anger. We're not going to be able to say that we're Christian Catholics. We're going to be worse than infidels and demented and insane and need to be destroyed. The USS Constitution, which is absolutely amazing, the maiden voyage, July 22nd, 1798, against the First Barbary War, against the Muslims. And now the left has just agreed to work with the Muslims when they're elected and put them in cabinet positions. So now you have socialism, communism, all the way through. You got the Muslims. Everything is aligning now, and the Muslims don't align with anybody. But they are aligning now. The enemy of your enemy is my friend. That's their phrase, right? So now everybody's aligning. Why? Because they've got to get rid of this Constitution. It's an old, dilapidated, worn-out piece of document that's no good to anybody anymore. That's what they're telling us. Guess when that date was? The 9th of Av. The 9th of Av. It's amazing the United States began on Tammuz 17. Which was the breaching of a wall. And in other words, it was a warning. God said, listen, you're going to be blessed. But don't forget, when you begin, you ever turn away from me, remember your foundation. Tammuz 17 is when the wall is breached and the enemy comes into camp. Same way with the Constitution. You ever turn your back on God and the Constitution's gone? The 9th of Av is when the temples fell. So here we are again, the Constitution, the 9th of Av. Another piece of the puzzle put on the staging. You can't make these things up. These are documentary history. So now, we've talked about this before. These are three historic dates of Israel going into captivity, removing nations Israel, the loss of governance, and the loss of identity. They came back in three ways. The beginning of our wealth, 1776. Beginning of our own governance, 1789. Removal of Justinian law. And three, the beginning of the fulfillment of the destiny of America with the purchase of Louisiana, which opened the way for the gateway to the West and the 50 states picturing freedom. So now, here we are again with our chart that we all began with. Began in 2015. What took place in 2015? The Pope was here marking his territory. He knew he had it but a short time, and so now he's beginning to stage his plan to defeat God. He began to pull the churches together, and there they are, all beginning to line up, the Protestants with the Pope, all coming home, as he says, all coming home. By 18 and 19 now, he began to align with all the Muslims, all coming together under the one church, the Catholic Christian, even the Muslims, to accomplish his goal of a millennial reign on this earth. No different than Hitler did in 1938 to 45. The re-education began. It's no surprise now. Understand that it began in 2020. He also wanted to begin on when? The birth date of Israel, on May 14th. Unbelievable. So now, Pope says he's the only one who has the authority to interpret the Bible. You're laughing. I know it sounds funny. Huh? This is true. It's a recently worldwide instigation that the Pope said that some part of the Bible needs an alteration. God didn't know what he was doing. He said, I'm going to alter the Bible for us. The task of interpreting the Word of God authentically has been entrusted solely to the magisterium of the Church, that is, the Pope, and to the bishops and communications with him. The Pope has the power to change times. And by the way, isn't that what Daniel said? That he'll seek to change times and laws? He has the power to change times, abrogate laws, to dispense with all things, even the precepts of Christ. These are quotes. I'm not making them up. The Pope has the authority and often exercised it to dispense with the command of Christ. It's 2019. Daniel 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. So you wonder where your persecution is coming from? Just like with Rome, the church back then used Rome to persecute the Christians. The church in the end time will use the government to persecute the Christians at the end time. He shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given to his hand for a time, times, and half a time. All right, almost wrapping up. So the Pope is of so great authority, is written, and power that he can modify, explain, or interpret even divine law. The Pope can modify divine law since his power is not of man, but of God, and he acts as a vicegerent of God upon earth. In other words, he acts as God's mouthpiece on this earth. And no one can tell him differently. Approaching the time of captivity in waves, this is what you'll see now. We began with the staging ground in 2020, and the coronavirus has set everything on the table. We've seen all these events now beginning to line up. We began to see the removal of the wealth of a nation, and we're seeing $4 trillion added to our debt in less than 4 months. Two, we'll see the second wave, just like with Israel, going into captivity when we give away our governance and begin to adopt UN resolutions rather than the Constitution. Now you see why the Constitution is so important and why I keep pushing how important it is to understand that the second wave of captivity is when we don't have the Constitution, the other governance, because that's what's coming. And it's going to happen in very short time. The third wave, it says, are given to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Joshua 5, 1 through 5, said, my servant is dead now, therefore arise and go over this Jordan and all this people to the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel, in every place that your sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, All the land of the Hittites unto all the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And I'm here to tell you today that this planet and everything that's on it, as far as you can see and everywhere you stand, will belong to Jesus Christ. It will be given into your hands when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And that is the case for you and for me. It doesn't matter if they could take you down, shoot you, beat you, put you in prison. They'll not stand before you even if they do. Because God is not going to let one hair of your head be harmed. Even if it's taken in the persecution, you will have eternal life. It says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. This is a duality of a point that needs to be understood in His church today. Because God will give us those protections. Look what He says to Joshua. Three times He tells him this. This is how important it is. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to give to their fathers. And I'm telling you that God is going to give this land to those He swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and to all those grafted in, and every person who bows the knee to Jesus Christ and repents and declares Him as Lord of this planet. God will grant him opportunity to be with Him in the kingdom. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant had commanded you. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And that means wherever you go. Don't turn to the right and to the left. Verse 9, I'll skip the verse here. Have I not commanded you? Now this is strange. You think maybe Joshua was a little puzzled? Because it's written as a question. God just told him twice, be strong and be good courage. Be courageous, very courageous. And now he's looking at him, he's like, didn't I just tell you this? It's written as a question. So evidently Joshua was standing there looking at Jericho and was like, wait a minute. You want me to do what? And that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to find things that you feel you must do. And you're going to say, whoa, wait a minute. Go back to Joshua. Go back to God. If it's of God, do it and trust Him. That means even if it takes persecution, do it. Trust God. Count the cost. Go through that brief circumcision of your heart. Cut off the past. Trust God and go forward. He says, have I not commanded you be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid. You think maybe he was afraid? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knew what he was going to go through. He understood what he was about to face. He knew the people he was with, too, because they were an unruly group of people. They didn't want to listen. They were disobedient. You think because they're the second generation, they're going in, the first generation didn't. Uh-uh, it don't go that way. Go back and read the scriptures. The first were disobedient. They didn't go in. But God told Moses and told Joshua, that second generation would do worse things than the first. So that means the second generation, those who came out of the first generation in our time, they're going to be doing things even worse than those in the other church. So you sit back and think you can judge them for not doing what God says to do. Get your act together and don't believe it. Hold fast. Because God says the second generation is going to be worse than the first. Joshua knew all of that. He says, don't be afraid. Neither be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I believe with all my heart, and I tell you with full certainty, if you hold fast and trust God to the things you're learning, especially through these series, God will be with you wherever you go. Doesn't mean you won't go through persecution, but it means you will go through with God and you will have eternity. But here's the key. Remember I told you I skipped the verse? This is the verse. And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. What's the key? You need to love God. You need to trust God. And how do you get that? Right there. When you go through the Word of God and you feel your body swell with emotion and tears and excitement, when you sit back, and I'll do that at my table quite often, it's like, whoa, I didn't know that. And you feel the chills run through your body. You say, man, I didn't see that before. and you praise and you thank God. And when you get news reports on Friday, it said no COVID church member got it again this week. And you can come praise God, thank you for separating the church. You know what I like to do when I come in here during the weekday? Danny will tell you, or May or the rest. We don't open the mail till Saturdays because I want other people here to open the mail because there's checks in there quite often. But you know what I like to do? I come get all the mail almost every day. And I look for names I hadn't seen before. And when I see that name that I'd never seen or recognized before, I say, wow, and I praise God for that. I say, wow, we reached one more person. And I get joy with that because we've reached one more person. Now, they may already be in a church. I don't know. They may be brand new. They may be a family member. But the goal here is to reach everybody we could possibly reach before the return of Jesus Christ. God goes on to say this, for then God shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. You want to make it to the promised land? You want to get ready for the next series that we're going to go through? Do what God says in verse 8. And this is where we began, and I'll close this series out with again. The statement by Winston Churchill in the beginning of World War II. Now is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning. I believe, as we're seeing here, and all of these pieces of the puzzle putting together, as God says from 2017 and 18, He says, in 3 days you're going to go over. I believe 2020 is the third day that we are over now. It is the staging ground. God has laid everything we need to know before Him. He has told us in advance what He's about to do. The end of the beginning has begun, and we are now beginning to get ready to move into the promised land. Pray that God will give us the strength, the ability, the wherewithal, and the fortitude to bring His Word to every living creature on the face of the earth. God be with you till next week. Thank you.